2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. You know, there's thousands of scriptures I could give you tonight. The title of my message is Knowing What Is Yours. Knowing what is yours. That God's given us so many things. But it's time we begin to take what is rightfully ours, grab a hold of what is rightfully ours, and don't let Satan steal what is ours. That's the biggest thing here that I'm wanting to point out tonight, is knowing what is yours and not letting Satan lie to you and steal it. Because once you finally begin to believe, okay, I'm starting to believe that things are starting to turn around, Satan will begin to lie to you and tell you they're not. He'll begin to lie to you and tell you otherwise. He'll begin to put all these lies into your head, but unless you know the scripture, how are you going to defend yourself? How are you going to be able to defend yourself for what is rightfully yours? That once you begin to know the scriptures, once you begin to know what the Bible says, you can say, this is what my God says. This is what my Bible says. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So right there, his power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So right there, that's one of the things that he's given you right there. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you're able to escape the corruption of lust in the world, but has given to us all things that pertain to life. Basically, everything that we need for life that is godly, he's given to us. He's given it to us. So write that one down. Let's go to the next one here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4 and 6 through 7. It says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. So we're saying that we're filled with joy. 6 through 7 says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. So he's saying we have a gift of laying on of hands. And for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So he's filled you with joy. So don't let Satan lie to you and say you don't have joy. He's given you a gift of the laying on of hands. Which you have questions on that, I can give you scriptures on that. Verse 6 talks about the laying on of hands. The power to heal the sick. The power to lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. So you're able to heal the sick. You're going to be joyful all the time. You don't have a spirit of fear. So when you have to know what you don't need either. So when a spirit of fear tries to come upon you by Satan, you say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. And you begin to confess what he says, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's given you a spirit of power, a spirit of love and of sound mind. So many scriptures does he talk about power and authority I have given you. That I have given you authority over all sicknesses. I've given you power to cast out demons. So he's telling us all these things that he has given us. By your faith, you are healed. So he's given you the power to be healed. That he's given you all these things. So when Satan begins to lie to you and says, you're never going to be healed. You're never going to do this. You're never going to be able to do that. Man, you should be afraid of what's going to happen next. Wait, Satan. That ain't what my Bible says. No, absolutely not. My Bible says something otherwise. Let's go back to 2 Peter, where it talks about anything pertaining to life, of godliness. That anything you need to walk in your life of godliness, he's given it to you. Whatever it may be, he's given it to you. Psalms 4:7, if we could turn to that one. It says, you have put gladness in my heart, more than the season that their grain and wine has increased. Saying that there's gladness, there's joy, there's all this stuff you've implanted into me. You've put into my heart. He's given you peace. He's given you gladness. He's put these things inside of you. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead to your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. He has forgiven us, and no one can take that away. So a lot of times, Satan will come back and say, the things that you've done in your past, the things that you've done, the things that you've said, you know what? It says he forgave you, and nobody can take that away. That nobody can take that away. Because a lot of times that happens in a Christian's life. Satan begins to lie to them and tell them, the reason you're going through this is because all those stupid things you did before. You know what? You're never going to be able to make anything of God because of what you've done in your past. You know what? You may as well not minister because the people out there already know what kind of person you were. And they're not going to take you seriously. But God's saying, I've given you a testimony. And I want you to go out and tell the world about me. I want you to go out and tell the world what God has done in your life. That Satan will try to lie to you to keep you to not speak. He'll lie to you and tell you, don't say it, don't do it. Well, what could happen? Well, what about this? What about that? No, he begins to lie to you about things. He doesn't want you to confess God's name. In the other scriptures we've talked about before on the tongue, that he's given you power over your tongue. So when you say, I can't stop doing this, I can't say that. No, no, it says God has given us power. Let's go to Luke 10, 17 through 20. It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. And over all power of the enemy. So he's given you the authority to overcome the devil. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven. So you think this is good? You can overcome the enemy? You think this is good? You have authority and power over everything? That's not what you should be excited about. He says, what you should be excited even greater than this is that your name's written in heaven. That you're going to go somewhere greater. That really, you know what I've given this power on earth? You think this is great, but just wait until you see what I really have for you. Just wait till you see how much greater this is. He's telling you, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. On another level that it doesn't compare, that you shouldn't even rejoice to it because there's something so much greater. Something I've given you even better and greater than. Just wait and you'll have this. But right there, so when the devil begins to lie to you, begin to confess these things over your life. It says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He's saying, that's how much more powerful I am. Fell out. Saw him fall like lightning. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So when something comes against you, no, nothing shall hurt me. Nothing shall hurt me. Nothing shall hurt me. That these scriptures, begin to learn them, begin to study them, begin to know them. When Satan tries to come against you, even as simple as, I ate some bad chicken today. I'm going to get some food poisoning. No, no, nothing by any means shall hurt me. Amen? It says you'll drink poison and won't die. That there's so many things that he's given us authority over. 1 John 5:11 through 13. 1 John 5, 11 through 13. Yes, I should have given you these scriptures ahead of time, especially since I have a bunch of scriptures. 1 John 5, 11 through 13. It says, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Verse 12 and verse 13. "He who has the Son has life." So if you accept Christ, you have life. "He who does not have Christ does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So if you believe in him, you may have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. But go back to verse 11 for me. "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life." So it says, God has given you this. He has given you eternal life. So when Satan tries to lie to you and say, "You're not good enough to make it to heaven. You're so stupid, you keep messing up all the time. Why would God want you up there? You're never going to make it. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to do enough good things. You're not saved by works. We're not saved by works." But when you believe in him, you confess him with your tongue that he is who he says he is, you will have eternal life. That he says he's given you eternal life. Psalms 37, 3 through 4. Psalms 37, verse 3 through 4. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good things." How many of you guys trust in the Lord? How many of you guys do good things? How many of you guys do bad things? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know what those are. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good things. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So basically, put your life in his hands. Put him first. Feed off his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What are you desiring in your heart? What is it from God that you desire? What is it that you want more than anything? I've told you that story that before I turned my life back around, God told me, he said, "Turn your life over to me, and I will give you the desires of your heart." He said, "I'll give you those desires." And I was like, "Oh man." So finally I turned my life over to God, and I realized it was a trick, because the desires of my heart were no longer the same desires I once had, because the desires of my heart were something much more, something so much greater, that the things that I wanted weren't just worldly things anymore. And the things that were worldly, I didn't want anymore, because they had nothing to do with God, or they were against God. So when I got the desires of my heart, I was like, "God, you tricked me. These weren't the desires of my heart." But it was so much greater. The desires were so much better. The desires weren't flesh-pleasing. They were spirit-pleasing. That they were desires that would actually fulfill me, instead of making me feel more empty. Because as you guys know, the more money you get, the more popular you get, the greater fame that you have, it actually makes you feel emptier inside. Because you thought that once you received it, you'd feel fulfilled. And then once you received it, you're even more wondered and messed up, because you're going, "Now I've got all this, where do I search now? I've got all the stuff that I wanted. Now what? I feel more empty than I did before." But it's because that hunger that you're feeling for something more, your flesh lies to you and it says, "You need more money. You need a bigger house. You need a nicer car. You need a different spouse." Come on, everybody. He'll to you and he'll tell you these things. And you think it's of your flesh. But really, it was your spirit crying out for something more. That your spirit will cry out and say, I need to pray. I need to know more about God. I need to read my Bible. I need to do these things. And your flesh says, don't do it. No, you don't want to do it. You're tired. You need sleep. Oh, wait, you're hungry. You better go get something to eat first. Oh, wow, look how tired your eyes feel. I tell you what, anytime you try to do this, he's going to tell you that stuff. All of a sudden, your flesh kicks in and goes, oh, no. Oh, wow, look at the house. I really need to clean. I don't need to clean. But he'll begin to say this stuff to you. And before you know it, when you begin to reject the calling of God, that the spirit that's pulling you, it's pulling you. It's God saying, read your Bible. It's God saying, pray to me. It's your spirit saying that. But when you begin to reject that, that's when your life begins to go downhill. When you begin to reject that, that's when that depression begins to come on. As you're rejecting the things of the spirit, your flesh is telling you to begin to go more towards the world. And before you know it, you're back in the same mess or worse than you were before you turned your life to God. Because now not only do you know what's right, but you know what's right and you're not living it. That it's better to have not known what was right and lived that way than to have been one that knows what's right and does wrong. Begin to listen to your spirit. Don't begin to reject it. Because it's easy to, it's very easy to reject it. It's very easy to go, all right, God, I'm going to spend some time with you tonight. Oh, man, yeah, all right. Oh, I'm just going to pray for a minute before I read my Bible, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Love spending time in your presence. Hallelujah. I'm going to bed. I've done it before. How many of you guys have done that? Don't lie to me out there. Come on. But it's your flesh. You weren't even tired when you went to go read your Bible. You weren't even tired when you're getting ready to go pray. And before you know it, oh, I'm so tired. Then Satan will lie to you. 2 Peter 2:21, it says, for it would have been, it says scripture, would have been better for them to have not had known the way of righteousness than having known it and turned from the holy commandment delivered to them. So it would have been better for you to have never known it than to have known it and turned away from it. Think about that. So now, y'all know it. So if you turn away, it's worse than if you ever would have never walked into this house. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 18 through 20. It's the last scripture I have for you guys tonight. I'm going to tell you a little story. Y'all ready for a story? Deuteronomy 8, chapter 18 through 20. It says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you in this day that you shall surely perish. And the nations which the Lord destroyed before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient in the voice of the Lord your God. So it's saying you could turn away from God and you're going to surely die. That he's saying, you know me, come after me, don't turn away from me. Don't turn away from me. But there's a part of dying that's more than a physical death. There's a spiritual death too. There's so much more. There's a spiritual death that you can proclaim the Lord your God and walk away from him, and what's going to happen? Like the last scripture we talked about, that it's better to have never known him than to have known him and walked away. Maybe you talk about the once saved, always saved stuff, but these two scriptures here, If it's better, think about that last one. If it's better to have never known him than to have known him and walked away. The one that never knew him isn't going to heaven. We know that, right? So if it's better to be that person than the one that known him and walked away, you can't tell me he's going to heaven. Because it would be better to be that person than the one that never knew him. Does that make sense? Let's go back to the first verse on that. What was it that I gave you? 18? It says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." So it doesn't say that he gives you wealth. It says it's he that gives you power to get wealth. Does that make sense? He doesn't just give you wealth, so you can't sit back and say, "Okay, God, where's my wealth? Come on, God, open up the floodgates of heaven and pour them out on me." That it says he gives you the power to get wealth. Well, one, we've been talking about reaping and sowing. That you reap what you sow. That if you give, you shall receive. That he gives you the power and the understanding to know how to get wealth. Also, he gives us knowledge. He gives us power to go, "Okay, I need to get a job." That you sit around all day and do nothing doesn't mean you're just going to have money come in. That he gives you the power to get the wealth. That we could go into so many different aspects of that. It says a lazy man is sinful. But he gives us power to get wealth. He doesn't just give it to us. We must step out and do something to receive that wealth. We reap what we sow. I want to close with this short story. There's a young boy. I used to be young at one time. Probably you don't believe it. Thank you. But I don't know. When I start telling the story, Mom, you can tell me around how old I was. I know I wasn't driving. I was probably 9 years old, I'm going to assume. But me and my mother were in the car. She says, "Hey, I'm going to pump gas. Will you go pay? Get my money out of my wallet, out of my purse." I go down. I get the money out. I grab some money. It was a $20 bill. It may have been a 5 back then. That's about how much it cost to fill up a gas tank back then. Sad that this won't even get close to filling up a gas tank. I don't care what kind of car you got. I grabbed the money out. And I'm sitting in there, and I'm looking at it. Looking at my mom. Mom's like, "What?" She gets back in for me to pay, and I'm like, "This is my money." She goes, "What?" I go, "This is mine. This is my $20 bill or $5 or whatever it was. Like, you took my money." She's like, "How did you know that I was going to give it back?" I'm like, she's like, "Do you have the serial numbers memorized?" I'm like, "No, but I know my money. This is my money." I used to take my money. I was obsessed with money. I used to take my money and I'd wash it. And I'd clean it. And I'd make it crisp. And it was hard as a fresh, brand new dollar bill. And when you begin to wash it and you clean it, you begin to see through it a little easier than you could originally. So I saw this 20 and I felt the hardness of it. And I could tell what was rightfully mine, that I knew what had been given to me. I knew what was mine, and I didn't let go. Yeah, she said she was borrowing it. She's going to give it back. Yeah, of course. Of course she was. She got caught. If I would... Doesn't matter. But you know what she would have done, don't you? While she's at the other side of the room, she was going to take that money when I went to look for it. Well, you must have spent it on something. But I knew what was mine. Even when someone tried to take it from me, I knew where I stood and knew what was rightfully mine. That when something's given to you and it's yours, you should be able to know it and claim it. That when God tells us what is ours, God tells us what he's given us, God tells us what is rightfully ours, that we should be able to take a stand and know what is rightfully ours. That we should be able to say, no, this is my $20 bill. You're not taking my money from me. That it's the same way in the spiritual realm. Nuh-uh, Satan, this is my healing, and you're not taking it from me. No, Satan, this is my life, and you're not taking it from me. No, Satan, this is my family, and you're not taking it from me. No, Satan, this is my joy, and nothing you can do can take it away from me. Because God has given me this joy. God has given me this peace. That God has given me all these things, and nothing you can do will take it away from me. But when you begin to know the scriptures, and you know what it is, believe me, it's so much easier to proclaim it over your life. It's so much easier to keep what is yours because you know where it comes from. You know who's given it to you. You know the commandments. You know all these certain things that you may be filled with joy. Oh, you're not very happy anymore. Look at the circumstances around you. It don't matter what the circumstances look like because my God says I'm filled with joy. It doesn't matter if I don't have a job because my God says he'll provide for me. It doesn't mean don't try to get a job. God says he gives us wisdom. He gives us power to get wealth. Not just wealth. Exactly. But we must trust in the Lord and do good. And that's when he says he'll give you the desires of your heart. So when Satan comes against you and he lies to you and he tells you, you ain't getting it. You ain't going to be able to pay your bills. You're not getting a job. You're not doing this. You're going to be sick the rest of your life. You're going to be miserable the rest of your life. You're going to be depressed. No, no, you're not forgiven of that. That was too big. That was too bad. No. You say, Satan, you're a liar. Satan, I come against you. No, Satan, I have authority over you. What, my family's sick? No, 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 it says lay your hands on the sick and they will recover because that's power that is mine that God has given me. That if you begin to know the scripture and you know where you stand on these things, Satan will try to come against you and you say, no, hang on. Let me pull out them notes from Tuesday night. Let me look something. Let's look here. For he has not given me a spirit of fear. Oh, you're right, Satan. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen. I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid of that. Because God hasn't given me that. And I'm not taking anything you want to give me. But begin to confess these things over your life. For you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Let's pray.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.